Amen. What a beautiful special. And what a, this children you just missed. And what a beautiful offering as well. Good job, Elena. I looked over there to see if that was Erica playing, because it was just a wonderful, beautiful song. And the other pianists are good too. But it was Elena. Wonderful job, Elena, with that. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1 this evening. James chapter 1. I do appreciate your encouraging words concerning our house that we've bought out in Liston. And all of you are excited for us to move in. And we don't know when we're moving in. Just to answer your question, a lot of you are asking, when are you moving in? We don't know. It's going a little bit slower than we expected. We've added a bathroom and a closet. We've done just a lot over there. So if you ask me again, you have to come help me. You have to come help me paint. So that's the rule now. If you ask me again, you got to come paint ceilings, which isn't that fun. So, but we're definitely looking forward to going out there and really settling down and almost just did one of those youth group jokes. I make light of something a lot in the youth group. I probably shouldn't, but I always joke around like my wife's pregnant, but she's not. So all the girls get really excited, and all the guys are like, oh, that's cool. But then it's a lie, so I probably shouldn't do that. The way that came across was just like I'm a jerk, but that's James chapter 1 tonight, James chapter 1, starting in verse number 19. The scripture says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. You don't read that everywhere, right? Superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. In verse number 27, which will be our key text this evening, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I'd like to preach to you a short challenge tonight entitled Pure Religion. And I'd like to pose the question to you tonight: do we have pure religion? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to come around your word. And Father, I pray that we would obey verse number 23 or 22 as it tells us to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers. For Father, we know that if we hear your word, we then have the responsibility to do. So Father, tonight as we hear your word preached and familiar principles that we're going to talk about tonight, may we be willing to obey these things to their fullest extent. In your name I pray, amen. I don't know about you, but I enjoy ordering things online. Anybody else? Anybody a big Amazon Prime fan? I'm a huge Amazon Prime fan because you can order something and then you'll be like, oh, there it is, right? It's so quick. It's crazy how fast things come in the mail these days. And I was looking around on an app called Wish. I don't know if any of you have ever had the pleasure of looking on the app called Wish. You shop on Wish. The thing about Wish is you have to wait about 5 to 6 months to get your item. It takes forever, at least for mine. It took months for me to get the thing. And they have all these little cheap trinkets and stuff. See, a lot of you are judging me right now. You're judging me like, why is he buying this cheap stuff? But let me tell you this to the older generation. I was thinking about this earlier today. Your generation did the same thing, but you did it with infomercials, right? You did it with Billy Mays. You didn't do it with an application on your phone, but you bought Flex Seal because you saw that it could completely seal the bottom of a boat, right? That was you. You bought that. You bought the ShamWow, right? Some of you men still have that somewhere, and you realize that it doesn't work, right? Some of you bought, my grandmother, she bought it. This is way off topic. My grandmother bought a $399 guitar, $400 guitar, off of an infomercial because it was a Garth Brooks guitar. And I don't know if she thought, she doesn't play guitar. She just got this guitar. She gave it to me just recently. So don't act like your generation didn't do stuff like this, all right? Everyone has those impulse buys, right? So I decided to go on my Wish app, and I'm looking at it, and I see wireless headphones. I'm a big fan of wireless headphones. I wear headphones a lot, mowing the grass and stuff. It's really convenient. So the iPods have the new things. Apple has the new things. What are they called, Pastor Stephen?
AirPods.
They have the AirPods. You can get these wireless headphones and put them in your ears. And I see some AirPods on Wish, and they are a whopping $1. So I scroll down, and I'm wondering what the shipping is going to be. I'm like, the shipping has to be $79.99, right? That's typically how these things go. The shipping is $1. So I ordered it a few months ago, and it finally got here. And to my surprise, it got in the mail, and it was in the small little package, and I'm feeling the package, and it goes completely flat. I'm wondering, what is this? So I open it up, and it is simply the cover for AirPods. And on the ad, had no description. It had a picture of headphones that said, wireless headphones, black. And they had different color options. So I get this, and it's just this latex floppy thing that the AirPods are supposed to go inside. And I thought about that, and I thought, this is ridiculous, right? I did not get what I ordered. I got an imitation, and a bad imitation at that. But Christians, I have a question for you tonight. Are we just the cover? Are we just the cover? Because I ordered something expecting to see contents, expecting to see something working and something that was going to be practical to me, and I just got the cover. May I say this tonight? Many of us Christians are just the cover. We're just the cover. And I wonder if the world sometimes when it comes down to it, and I remember around 9/11 time, churches were packed. And I wonder how many of those people came into churches and talked to Christians that were simply the cover. What am I talking about? I'm talking about religion that is not pure. Because any religion that is not pure is simply the cover, church. It's like you expecting to get something completely working, completely practical, completely what you ordered. Being massively disappointed to find it's only the cover. Are we, as people who say that we love God, only the cover? Verse number 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." But may I say this? I don't think we really have a verse 22 problem. And may I say this? I don't think I only have a verse 22 problem. Because I do things for the Lord, and I go out there, and I do religious acts, but I think I do sometimes have a verse 27 problem. I think sometimes I struggle with not religion. By the way, religion is easy. The world does religion. Everyone can do religion, but pure religion is a completely different subject that we're going to talk about tonight. So I want to ask you, church, do you have pure religion? Are you more than just the cover? Doing, by the way, is an excellent thing. I think us doing religious activities like visiting widows, and that's a religious activity. Us comforting people in their affliction, that's all very religious. But know this, that if it's not done out of purity and out of love, it is vain. And God looked at the Pharisees through Jesus Christ several times, and He pointed out their hypocrisy. He pointed out how they're just the cover, how they're just empty inside. So church, I want to challenge you tonight to be more than that. You have a pure religion, because 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, Paul speaks about charity. And Paul speaks about charity's importance in our life when it comes to this topic of religion. He says, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Verse number 2, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." We must have pure religion. We must not just have religious acts, but we must have a desire and a passion in our hearts to yearn for this, to strive for this, to reach after pure religion in our daily lives. But where does it come from? How do we get it? What does it look like? Let's notice this evening three vital focuses we must have to have and attain pure religion. Three vital focuses we must have to obtain pure religion. First of all, we must have an upward focus. Look at verse number 27 with me, will you? "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. We must have an upward focus. How many times in our religious activities or whatever ministry you're involved in, do we do it without thinking of God? How many times do we do that? How many times do we go and work in Awana or go and work in youth group or whatever your ministry is at this church in nursery? By the way, nursery is a ministry. You probably work harder than I do. Children's ministry is a ministry. It's work, but do we do it as unto the Lord? How about bus ministry? Do we get on that bus knowing, hey, God is watching. Hey, God is for me. Hey, God wants me to do my best for His glory, and God wants me to have this pure religion He speaks of. And first of all, an upward focus, one of the qualifiers is that it's undefiled. Undefiled has the meaning of not being obviously defiled or unspotted or pure. It's supposed to be undefiled. 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. 1 Peter 1:22, see ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned faith of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. If you go into your ministry, whatever it is, and this passage has been an immense challenge to me because it has worked on my heart first. I want you to know that. I'm challenging you with something that has challenged and is challenging me on a daily basis in my life. But whenever I go to do my ministry, are my hands clean? Have I been before God in prayer? Or do I come right out of my sin and expect to jump in ministry and think that it even might please God? Oh, I might see things accomplished. And can I tell you this? I've preached out of the flesh before and seen many souls saved. But let me tell you this, God isn't pleased with me for that. I'm getting no rewards for that. That's not something I can offer to Him with a sweet-smelling savor like He desires. And I think we all are guilty of this, right? We all are guilty of going into our ministry and not realizing, hey, God wants us to be undefiled before we even step in. It's the stage before we even get into ministry. We are to be undefiled. And secondly, it's before God. Pure religion is done knowing that God is watching. I always give my teenagers this illustration, mostly so they don't touch each other. But I give this illustration a lot of the times that imagine you lived your life on a daily basis. Imagine if God was sitting in a chair beside you. You could see what I mean, like girls and guys. Imagine God sitting beside you. Imagine God sitting between you, sometimes I want to say. But imagine God is sitting beside you or walking alongside you. That would change the way that we act. That would change the way that we behave. But it's a reality that we're not often reminding ourselves of, that God is here. God is with us. God is present here. He is omnipresent, meaning that God, He sees us. And not only does He see us, He sees our circumstances. He sees what we're going through. He sees what He expects of us through His will. We are to have an upward focus to God. Pure religion is done knowing that God is watching. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this. I had a friend growing up. I won't say his name because sometimes he watches. He might watch me preach, so I'm not going to say his name. But this friend is an intense people pleaser. And some of you are, right? Some of you are intense people pleasers. And whoever you're around, that's kind of who you become. Right, and I see this in teenagers' lives, and it kind of makes me cringe a little bit because I know they go to public school or I know they have struggles, and I know that it would be so easier for them to get involved in the wrong crowd. But did you know this? Whoever we're around is who we become more like. And if you don't believe that, you're mistaken. you're fooling yourselves because you get married. Some of you get married, and some of you have been married 50, 60 years in this room. And it amazes me how you even start to look like each other, right? Isn't that crazy? You look at an older couple and you're like, you look like siblings. And it's not like they were like that when they were younger. They aged each other. Like they started to make the same facial expressions. They look so much alike. Have you ever noticed that? But I had this friend. He became like everyone who he was around. May I submit this to you tonight? Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father. We have to constantly remind ourselves that if we are not putting ourselves in church, if we are not putting ourselves around preaching, around prayer, and around the reading of God's Word, we will not be more like Him. And I say that, and that's an easy thing to listen to because that's obvious, But we miss this mark sometimes. And I have to remind my teenagers almost weekly, because a teenager, and even you can hear that tonight and know, and even have read verse number 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Yet we go home and we put this on a shelf sometimes, and we don't get back to it until Wednesday or Sunday. And sometimes we wonder why we're not more like God, why we can't accomplish pure religion, why we can't go into our ministry undefiled. It's because we're not in His word. It's because we're not around Him. I want to challenge you, don't be a people pleaser. Be a God pleaser. Know that when you're around other people that have a negative influence, that there is a higher power watching you. There is a friend that you have in Jesus that is rooting for you to take the right path, that wants you to go the right way. So if the first focus we must have is an upward focus, we must do it in the name of God and the Father, knowing He is watching us. But secondly, we must have an outward focus. An outward focus. Pure religion. And undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. I believe that we as Christians fail, and I as a Christian fail in my life when I reach upward, when I focus on God, and maybe I even reach inward and I say, God, cleanse my soul from sin. Lord, make me a pure vessel to do your work. I do both of those things, yet I miss this point. Many of us Christians, myself included, are simply going through the motions. We're doing what we think is right. We're doing the good things. We're reading our Bible. We're praying every day. But we are missing God's will for our life, because God's will for our life is to not only hear the message within these four walls, not only read the word out of the sacred book, but to take that message of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ outside of these doors into a world that is lost in sin, to a world that is heading to an eternal hell. We must have an outward focus. May I say this? It's easy to be professional churchgoers. It's easy to be professional devotional readers and professional sermon listeners. Some of you take notes every sermon. But we have lost the point if we do not take those truths beyond just this place. Apply them to our lives, and then reach out to a hurting soul that needs that principle for their life as well. Christian, you were made for more than just warming a pew. You were made for more than just going to church, going home, even going home, reading your Bible and praying and having devotions, hanging out with your church friends. That's all great. That's all fine. But if we're not reaching people, what's the point? If we're not reaching people, we do not fulfill the last prayer request, the only prayer request of the Lord Jesus, that we would send laborers into His harvest. And we have a great host of people at this church that will volunteer. We have a great host of people at this church that will go out there and do whatever is expected of them. But again, do we do it for the right reason? See, a lot of you, while I'm preaching on this, one of my fears is that we preach on it and we're hard on it, and then we do it out of guilt. Well, that doesn't please the Lord either, does it? We need to do it out of pure motives. And it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows. Imagine it like this, us just keeping the word within these four walls and never reaching out to hurting people. Imagine it like this. Imagine if I went down to the Ford dealership, okay? And I get the nicest Ford F-150. If any of you want to buy me a birthday present, buy me a brand new Ford F-150, or even Pastor Morris, even a few years old. Even a few years old F-150 that's a King Ranch. That'd be nice. If anyone wanted to be really, really nice to me and really giving and Christian, they would give me. I'm just kidding. But imagine I went down to the Ford dealership and I were to buy a vehicle like that. And I got home and my wife's upset at me because I took out a loan and we don't do that kind of thing. But my wife's upset at me, and then we go drive around and, man, this is cool. And then I say to her, I love this car. This is going to be great, but I'm only taking it to the gas station. And she says, what in the world? So I start to do that the first week I own it. I drive my brand new 2018 or 19, whatever year the car is in right now. I drive my 2019 F-150 to the gas station. I gas it up for the first time. I'm like, man, this was sweet. I gas it up. I look around the gas station. I get back in the truck. I go home. And then I drive my 94 F-150 the rest of the day. What you're thinking is true, and that is a waste, right? For me to buy something new of such value and worth and it not have a true purpose, if it's only going to fuel up and going back to its station, it doesn't make any sense. But Christians, how often do we find ourselves coming to this fueling station and then going home but never doing anything else, never accomplishing any other will that God would have for our lives? Are we just going to the gas station? Are we taking trips? Are we accomplishing God's will and making more stops and going different places where God wants us to go? For us to keep it within ourselves and within these walls is such a shame because we miss the point of what God wants for our lives. We miss God's will. We must have an outward focus. We need action or we will be like the Dead Sea that continues to take water in but never gives any water out. Therefore, it is dead. Nothing can grow in it. Matthew 25:40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Speaking of God. Verse number 27, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. He's giving us a simple example here, and he's not saying that pure religion is only to visit the fatherless and the widows. He's giving us an example that pure religion is ministering to those that can in no way give back to you what you have given. It's a selfless act. It's something that you know that person is in need, therefore you act. You see a need, you take the lead in that situation. By the way, how you treat the least of these is ultimately how we treat God. And oh, what a challenge that is to me as I look at people, and aren't we so prone to judge? We are so prone to judge and to look at people, and the longer I'm in ministry and the longer I live, the longer I say like Pastor Monty, and just Pastor Monty is such a graceful person. And he looks at people with the utmost, he looks at a person and he sees the good. And that's what I'm learning from him. That's what I'm learning from being in ministry and just being a human being is that looking at people and judging them does me no good. And actually, if we do judge them in the sense that we put them down in our minds, we put God down in our minds. The illustration's given there in Matthew 25 of people that need food and people that need shelter and people that just walk by. If we are just walking by, that's how we've treated God. May I say that there's people around us that need the gospel. But there's also people around us that have literal, physical, and financial needs that we as God's church are commissioned to do. That we as this church, and first of all, it says widows. So that's one of our big ministries. These are people who have experienced extreme loss and pain, and they are no doubt experiencing some amount of loneliness. I have no idea what it's like to be a widow or widower, I should say. But I cannot imagine getting to know someone your whole life, becoming like that person, knowing each other so well, and then having that ripped away. And knowing that you know, God's still in control, but that doesn't take the pain away often. I can't imagine what it's like to be a widow, but I can't imagine what it's like to be in a widow full of church people and never get a visit. Do you know we have a whole list of widows? Let me tell you this, we have deacons that are given the names of those widows, and they are to visit them monthly, and if the deacons and Pastor Morris does an excellent job, we have a pastor who's one of his sole responsibilities is to visit the widows, to visit the shut-ins. But let me tell you this, if Pastor Morris and our deacons are the only ones visiting, that's two stops a month, three stops a month. Isn't that a lonely life? Can you imagine how happy you can make a widow or a person that's in a tribulation, how happy you can make them if you just went in there with a small gift or just went in there with a smile and talked to them for an hour. I used to go in nursing home ministry back home in my church, and when I first started, I didn't really have a good view of nursing home ministry, so I would go in there and someone would start to talk to me, and I'd be looking at my watch and saying, I got to do this today. At the end of that nursing home ministry, I was completely content with just staying there all afternoon. You know why? Because I knew that those people, if they're not talking to me, who are they talking to? Who are they getting encouragement from? So James calls us out and he says, hey, go visit the widows. That is pure religion. They can give nothing back to you, but you can give something to them called pure religion. It also says to visit the fatherless, these who have experienced loss or great rejection. It's a different kind of loss. It's a painful loss to be fatherless. And in this day, they were speaking of no doubt children that hadn't been adopted and children that were literally fatherless. Let me tell you this, there are fatherless children everywhere. Not only is the divorce rate at 50%, but there are many, many, many fathers, and you know this just as well as I do, who get a woman pregnant, and that is their only interaction with them, and then that son grows up without a dad. And some of you, if you've grown up like that, you know the pain of rejection. Those people need your ministry. Let me tell you this, it's not only bus kids. There are children in this church that are fatherless, and you can minister to them. And God looks down at that, and he sees that as pure religion. Why? Because that boy can give nothing to you. That girl that doesn't have a dad, she can't give anything to you. And God sees you lovingly reach out with the hands of Jesus and fill a need that he wants you to. We must reach not only these people, but ones like them. This is what pleases God the most. This is what he calls pure religion. God is most pleased with our service when it is done for those who can give nothing in return. We must look outward. We must have an outward focus. But lastly, and I'll be short, we must have an inward focus. Verse number 27, after it says to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, it says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let me tell you this, the world not only wants to spot our teenagers, the world wants to spot every generation in our church. And I think we have this idea sometimes, and I've discussed this with many of you, that the only generation with problems is the millennial generation. Let me tell you, that's hogwash. That's just foolishness. Because what many millennials are doing, guess what? Each and every generation after them and before them are also doing. They are doing the same exact sins, it's just in different ways. They just manifest itself differently. So we are not to look down on a whole generation. We are to keep ourselves and not just point at other people and looking at their spots, but we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. The world wants to spot you. I think we often think that becoming like the world is the only way that we could reach the world. And I've seen this ministry philosophy a lot, that in order to really reach our bus kid, we need to walk up beside our bus kid's phone and see that that bad image or that bad band, and we need to talk to him about that and say, oh, well, that's pretty cool. Let me talk to you about this. And we try to connect on the whole premise of worldliness, or maybe we're out and about in our daily lives and we try to connect with worldliness, but that's not the way God wants us to do it. A pure connection is what God can use. Purely going out there and reaching out to those. And let me just tell you, the world wants to spot Christians and defile them. First, there's a downward progression of this. First, there's a friendship with the world found in James 4:4. I don't have time to go there. And secondly, there is a love for the world after there's a friendship with the world. In 1 John 2:15 through 17, he starts to begin to love the world, which can lead to a confirmation to the world in Romans 12, 1 through 2. I think the best illustration in the Bible of this is the illustration of Lot. Lot found himself, ultimately God wanted Lot to reach Sodom, of course, and Sodom pitched his tent toward Sodom. And Lot went down into Sodom, began to live with them, but ultimately found that not only was Lot living in Sodom, but Sodom began to live in Lot. It defiled Lot. It destroyed Lot's life. But who did God end up using to reach those people? Abraham. Man that walked with God. A man that had great faith, but a man that was pure. A man that was undefiled. A man that was not spotted, nor willing to let the world spot him. Lot is a wonderful example to us to not be spotted by the world if we want to be used by God. So what is the test for worldliness? And I'll be quick with this. What is the test for worldliness? First of all, it's worldly if it's forbidden by Scripture. And I think if we just cut those things out of our life, we'd have most things taken care of, right? If we got all the worldliness that the Scripture speaks of, all those things that are forbidden, that God says, hey, don't do that, don't look upon that, don't touch that, we would not have issues in our life with worldliness. But second of all, will it weaken your testimony? Obviously, Paul, and I'm hurrying, but obviously, Paul, even with things that were not, that were part of his Christian liberty that maybe he could have done, Paul decided not to do those things for sake of his testimony, for sake ultimately of the testimony of Christ. And lastly, does it come between, I think this is the big test of worldliness other than the first point of is it forbidden? But thirdly, does it come between you and God? If it does, it's worldliness. Does it come between you and God? Pure religion and undefiled before God, for the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let me ask you this, church, do you have pure religion? Do you have an undefiled heart that's willing to go into ministry to the afflicted, to people that can't not give back to you, or does it need some work? Are you just the cover this evening, or do you have content? Are you the real deal? Let me tell you this in this passage, and I'm just going to be really transparent with you. There's been many times, even my ministry as a youth pastor, that I have been just the cover, and I'm done with it. And I'm sure there's been points in your ministry where you've been just the cover. You've been there because that's what's expected of you. But if we operate as the cover, if we operate just as the shell of a Christian, God's not going to bless that. God may bless His Word, of course He will, but God is not going to bless our actions. God is not going to bless what we do unless it is out of pure religion done out of charity. Let's pray, church. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. Father, I pray that You would work on the hearts of these people like You have worked on mine about this subject. Lord, I pray that we would have a pure religion. Lord, not that we would just have a church full of volunteers, which, Lord, is wonderful. Lord, not that we would just have a church pews full of people listening to Your Word, because, Lord, that is wonderful. And not just that we would have people go home and read their Bibles, but, Lord, we would have people take that same gospel of Jesus Christ that is preached right here behind this pulpit out into a community. And not only take the gospel, but to take, Lord, the encouraging Word of God to our widows and fatherless, and Lord, those who can give nothing in return to us. Lord, work in our hearts, and Lord, do with these people like You've done in mine. In Your name I pray.